My head was reeling with all this. "Oh, to the devil! I'll not listen to this. I want to see my ambassador. I know my rights."
"And your ambassador would be of no help to you. I have not yet mentioned the most serious complaint. It is possible that a charge of criminal assault on a female may be brought against you."
At this, I staggered to my feet in horror.
"That's a lie! A damn lie! My God, she practically raped me! Why, she—"
"That would not be the evidence she would give before a judge and jury."
His voice was stone cold.
"Baroness Pechmann is known as a lady of irreproachable character. Her husband is a former commissioner of police for Munich. I can hardly imagine a more respectable witness."
But...
I was at a loss for words, but a horrible thought was forming in my brain.
"This is a plot. That's it. It's a deliberate attempt to discredit me."
I wheeled on Starnberg, who was negligently regarding his nails.
"You're in this, you rascal. You've given false witness."
"Don't be an ass," says he. "Listen to the magistrate, can't you?"
Stunned and terrified, I sank onto the stool. Caius leaned forward, a thin hand tapping the table before him. I had the impression he was enjoying himself.
"You begin to see the seriousness of your position, sir. I have indicated the charges which could be brought, and without doubt proved, against you. I speak not as an examining magistrate, but as a legal adviser, if you like. These are certainties. No doubt you would persist in denial. Against you there would be at least four witnesses of high character. The two police officers who apprehended you, Baroness Pechmann and the Freiherr von Starnberg here. Your word, the word of a known duelist over women, a man who was expelled for drunken behaviour from his school in England.
How the devil did you know that?
Our gathering of information is thorough, is it not so? You can guess what your word would count for in the circumstances."
"I don't care," I cried. "You can't hope to do this. I'm a friend of the Grafin Lansfeld. She'll speak for me. By God, when she hears of this, the boot will be in the other foot."
I went no further. Another horrid thought had struck me. Why hadn't the all-powerful Lola, whose lightest word was law in Bavaria, intervened by now? She must know all about it, why the ghastly affair had happened in her own palace. She'd been with me not 5 minutes before. And then, in spite of my aching, reeling head, the full truth of it was plain. Lola knew all about it. Yes, hadn't she lured me to Munich in the first place? And here I was, within 24 hours of meeting her again, trapped in what was obviously a damnable, deliberate plot against me. God, was this her way of punishing me for what had happened years before, when I'd laughed at her humiliation in London? Could any woman be so fiendishly cruel, hating so long and bitterly that she would go to such lengths? I couldn't believe it. And then Caius spoke to confirm my worst fears. "You can hope for no assistance whatever from the Gräfin Lansfeld," says he. "She's already disclaimed you." I took my aching head in my hands. This was a nightmare. I couldn't believe it was happening.
"But I've done nothing," I burst out, almost sobbing. "Oh, I galloped that fat trot, yes, but where's the crime in that? Don't Germans do it, for Christ's sake? By God, I'll fight this. My ambassador—"
"A moment." Caius was impatient. "It seems I have talked to no purpose. Can I not convince you that legally you are without hope? And on conviction, I assure you, you could be imprisoned for life. Even on the minor charges, it would be possible to ensure a maximum sentence of some years. Is that clear? This, inevitably, is what will happen if, by insisting on seeing your ambassador and enlisting his interest, you cause the whole scandal to become public. At the moment, I would remind you, no charges have been formulated."
"And they needn't be," says Rudy from behind me. "Unless you insist, of course."
This was too much for me. It made no sense whatever.
"No one wants to be unpleasant," says Rudy, all silky, "but we have to show you where you stand, don't you see? To let you see what might happen if you were obstinate."
"You're blackmailing me, then?"
I stared from the thin-lipped Caius to the debonair stripling.
"In God's name, why? What have I done? What do you want me to do?"
"Ah," says he, "that's better."
He tapped me twice smartly on the shoulder with his riding switch.
"Much better.
Do you know, doctor?"
he went on, turning to Caius. "I believe there's no need to trouble you any longer. I'm sure the Rittmeister Flashman has at least realized the gravity of his situation, and will be as eager as we all are to find a mutually satisfactory way out of it. I'm deeply obliged to you, doctor."